From building a business we're talking about to creating best-in-class client experiences, we're here to explore what it takes to make sure you're top of mind and get the referral every time. Join me as I interview some of the most innovative and inspiring business owners in the online space and discover how you can create more opportunities to ensure your clients are thrilled with your work and make you the obvious choice to send their friends to. It's time to stop going it alone and start transforming your star power into staying power. I'm Dusty Arab, and you're listening to Referral Worthy. Let's get started. So I'm 22, putting myself through college, working part-time at Starbucks, and I'm studying environmental economics. Sounds normal so far, right? That's because I was really good at leaving the hot mess part unspoken. The reality? Between undiagnosed ADHD, unprocessed trauma, oh, and, you know, being divorced with a one-year-old, I was barely keeping my head above water. I'd start every morning at 4 a.m. slinging caramel macchiatos to soccer moms and end the day cramming, trying to pass my classes. I didn't have a lot of friends anyway. I was so busy trying to survive, I ended up really isolated. It didn't help that I was giving serious weird Barbie energy. Intense, awkward, very closeted, and making very questionable hair choices. I had no plan, no idea how to make it all work past trying to drag my ass through college. But at this point, I knew two things. One, my gifted kid procrastinating until the last second strategy was not cutting it anymore. And two, I hated capitalism, which was inconvenient for someone majoring in environmental economics. But something in me kept looking for a way out, a way to make life make sense. That's when I discovered this thing called the 101 in 1001 list. The idea was simple. You write down 101 things you want to do in 1001 days. And at the top of my list was to find a productivity system that actually worked. Figure out the system, finish college, make the money, make it out. So I started blogging about it, mostly just to hold myself accountable. And then 2 weeks later, something I wrote went viral. And suddenly, I wasn't just talking to myself anymore. For the first time, I was meeting people who were just as weird as me. And these weren't just people who shared my interest. They shared my doubts, my frustrations, and this tiny, stubborn hope that maybe, just maybe, life didn't have to look the way everyone said it should. And for the first time, I didn't feel so alone. Up until that point, I'd always felt like my misfit energy was something I had to fix. I was trying so hard to mask, to make myself smaller, quieter, more normal. But these people, the ones who were also willing to question the status quo and ask the big, scary questions about life and work and meaning, they made me feel like I could just exist. That my weird Barbie energy was a feature and not a bug. That's the seed that eventually grew into my friend's first business philosophy. The truth is, I would have done anything to hold on to those relationships because they changed everything for me. Yes, the money and opportunities that would eventually come out of those connections was great. But feeling like I wasn't so alone, that was life-changing. Not long after, I heard about this event called the World Domination Summit happening right here in Portland. Tickets were $500, which might as well have been $5,000 at the time. But I knew the volunteer coordinator, so that was my way in. But I didn't want to just go volunteer, right? Like, I knew folks would be in town for a few extra days, but there wasn't really anything happening outside of the main event. So I decided to organize some extra events. Karaoke, a women's lunch, just some things to get everyone together. Everything was free. And honestly, I did it because it sounded fun. And I wanted to meet the people I'd been talking to online in real life. At the time, I wasn't thinking about networking or building a brand. I just wanted to sing karaoke with cool people and have some actual human connection. But some of those people I met at karaoke, I'm still connected to them today. We're still doing business together. Networking, the way most people describe it, is a lot like throwing spaghetti at the wall and hoping it sticks. Join the Chamber of Commerce, go to events, pass out your business cards. Yeah, doesn't work, right? Especially if you're introverted or as socially awkward as I was. Am. Let's be real. What does work is something much more natural. Being a human who is genuinely invested in other humans. I didn't have the words back then, but what I discovered was actually something that had been around for a long time. Mutual aid. Mutual aid is like tending a garden. You plant the seeds, you water them, and you trust that when it's time, they'll grow. Mutual aid is about showing up for each other, not because you're keeping score, but because you believe in what's possible when people work together. That's the difference between transactional networking and relational trust building. The culture we live in is not set up for us to succeed. The systems we've been told to rely on, whether it's corporate jobs or institutions, they're not designed for most of us. And frankly, that's how a lot of us ended up here, working on the internet. Maybe you're neurospicy and can't hold down a traditional 9-to-5. Maybe you're chronically ill and have had to learn how to work where and when you can. Maybe, like me, you couldn't afford childcare, even if you did manage to land a full-time gig. So you had to figure out some way to survive. Mutual aid is how we survive, not just for today, but for the next 4 years and beyond. And I hope you can see that this is not just about business. This is about resilience. It's about building the kinds of networks where people don't just know your name. They trust you enough to show up for you, just like you would show up for them. And that trust, that is what sustains us. Let me give you an example of what this looks like in real life. It's January 2023. I'm in my third trimester, waddling around in a Snorlax onesie, attempting to save for maternity leave, and frankly, I was starting to sweat. Because when you're a service-based business owner, when you stop working, the money stops coming in. But out of nowhere, a big name lands on my calendar. New York Times best-selling author, someone whose work had personally impacted me. My very first thought, it had to be a scam. But it wasn't. That call went incredibly well, and when we hung up, I asked, "How did you find me?" And they named somebody I didn't even know. But I checked Facebook, and it turned out we were connected. Turns out, years earlier, I'd answered a question for her in a Facebook group. And I didn't think anything about it at the time, obviously. But to her, that interaction really stood out. And that one moment of showing up ended up turning into one of my biggest clients. And it also put enough money in the bank that I didn't have to worry about taking leave. The real kicker, though, not only did I wrap up the campaign on time, I went into labor 2 weeks early. So when I talk about showing up and building trust, I mean it, because at the end of that, I still got asked to come back after I was done with my leave. This is what it looks like when mutual aid and trust come together. When you're showing up consistently for the right reasons, the people in your network will do the same for you. I imagine you probably didn't get into your line of work because you wanted to spend your days sitting on social media or otherwise trying to convince people to hire you. You got into it because you love what you do. Whether it's coaching or design or writing, you want to spend your time doing the thing that you're great at, not figuring out how to be the loudest voice in an increasingly crowded room. But for most of us, marketing ends up feeling like a full-time job we didn't realize we were signing up for. Now, I am a marketer. This is my bread and butter. We all know we have to market our businesses, and in my work and my conversations with other business owners, when we dig into it, we don't expect things to be easy. Like, we know business is never easy, but we are craving some amount of ease and the ability to focus on our work without constantly worrying about where the next client is coming from. A few years ago, when I first transitioned into doing more marketing strategy work, whenever I asked where people were getting their clients from, I kept hearing the same thing from service providers. "I mostly get clients from referrals." They said it like a confession, like referrals were not enough. And granted, they weren't getting enough referrals, but being mostly referral is the dream, baby. Not having to go find those folks yourself, we love that. So I dug into it. Like, what was the deal? Why weren't they getting more referrals? And after working with many, many small business owners and interviewing dozens more on my podcast Referral Worthy, it became clear that the problem was almost never their work. It was almost always one of three problems. a systems issue, a pivot that no one knew about, or they were still working through a messaging issue. Now, this is where things get real, because if I asked you right now, could you take on 10 new qualified clients today? Most of you would probably say no, not because you're not great at what you do, but because the systems just aren't there. The foundation isn't built, and that is the real problem. It's not the marketing. It's what happens after the marketing works. I truly believe that most service providers are doing their damnedest to deliver amazing results for their clients. But the process? Often inconsistent. The onboarding might feel clunky. The communication might have clients wondering where their deliverables are, even if they're on time. And after the project wraps, they might leave feeling fine about the work, but maybe not excited to tell their friends about it. And that's where the real work is, right? Creating a business that doesn't just deliver great results, but actually creates an experience that people can't stop talking about. Messaging is the hardest one of these to nail because so often it's a moving target. Especially if we're earlier stage in our business, it's a lot harder trying to lock down the words to let someone know exactly how we can help them. But the thing with messaging is it's also the easiest to test. Later today, you'll have a chance to connect with and meet more of the folks in this room. And if you feel like your messaging is off, I encourage you to hash it out with some of the geniuses in here. If you've made a pivot, your problem looks a little bit different. Because now you've got to switch up your messaging, update your website, change how you are personally talking about what you do, update all your systems to match, let all your clients know, oh yeah, and also keep up with your current client load. Now, if that sounded painfully on point for you, know that I have nothing but empathy. It's a huge reason why I'm such a huge fan of body doubling and accountability calls, so we can actually work on our businesses and not just in them. The good news is that these are all such solvable problems. The bad news is mutual aid is hard to give or receive if you are not clear about what you have to offer and exactly what it is you need. Because truly, that is what makes you referral worthy. When your systems and processes are dialed in, clients know they can count on you, not just for the work itself, but for the way you work. And when you can easily and clearly talk about what you do, it makes it a lot easier for your clients to do the same. It all comes down to trust. That is what makes referrals happen naturally. Having consistent marketing, it's nice. But consistent work, that's the dream, right? When folks know that they can count on you to show up, communicate, deliver, the marketing starts to take care of itself. And suddenly, you're not just running a business. You're running something that actually feels sustainable and potentially even scale. But referrals aren't the only way to build trust and sustainability into your business either. Collaborations are another brilliant strategy, not just for your business, but for your sanity. They are the answer to not having to do it all by yourself. And at their core, collaborations are mutual aid in action, sharing the load, creating something bigger together. Sure, collaborations are very smart for business. They help you reach new audiences, test ideas, build credibility, but even more importantly, they make the work fun again. They bring back that spark that can often get buried under the grind of running a business solo because it's a lot of fucking work. Take By the Board. It was one of my first collaborations, and it started really as an inside joke between friends who had a mutual dislike of someone else's approach to a problem. But instead of just ranting into the void, which I assure you there was plenty, we turned that frustration into a program that actually worked. And it worked because it was built on trust, shared values, and no bullshit energy, the exact things that make collaborations sing. Or earlier this year even, when Hillary Weiss Presswood and I hosted our collab cruise. A few years earlier, we'd run Fun Factor in New York, and it was more of a curriculum-driven experience, and we focused on bringing people together to learn and work on their businesses. But this time, we really wanted to do something different. We wanted to focus less on the structure and more on the people. We wanted to create a space for everyone to bring their brains, their experiences, big ideas, all while stepping out of our offices and onto a boat, you know, to go get inspired. And honestly, the shift was magic. The conversations, the energy, all of it that came out of getting people together in a new environment was absolutely next level. It was mutual aid in its most generative form, where the whole community left with better ideas and stronger connections than they came in with. But here's the magic of collaboration. It's not just about splitting the workload or reaching a new audience. It can also be a way to find new ways to serve clients that feels exciting for you too. Because if you are bored with your offers, your clients can feel it. Collaboration can shake things up. They can also be a lot more than a one-off project. They can lead to deeper, ongoing partnerships where mutual aid is not just implied, it is a cornerstone. You lean on each other, you bring out the best in each other, and you create something far more impactful than what either of you could have done solo. Now, I am not saying collaborations are always easy. I can personally assure you that they are not. You have to find the right people, the ones who share your values, your vibe, and most of all, your commitment to showing up. But when you do, it is worth it every time, even when things get hard. So if you have been feeling like business is all grind and no joy, maybe it's time to ask yourself, who could I work with? Who could bring something to the table that I can't? And maybe most importantly of all, who would I really love to work with? Because the best collaborations aren't just good for your business. They are good for your soul. At the end of the day, that's what collaborations are really about. Mutual support, creativity, connection. It's about building something bigger than any of us could alone. And if you can have a little fun and, you know, a margarita while you're at it, even better. So here is my challenge to you. This week, pick one small way to show up for someone in your network. Not to ask for anything, but to offer support. Maybe it's as simple as an introduction. Maybe it's answering a question in a Facebook group. Maybe it's just checking in to see how someone's really doing. Here's why. Every time you show up, you're planting a seed. And those seeds don't grow overnight. But over time, they can turn into something powerful. Mutual trust, opportunities, and the kind of community that has your back when you need it most. And remember, showing up does not have to be huge or flashy. It's not about being the loudest person in the room or overextending yourself. It's about being thoughtful and generous and authentic in a way that feels good for you. Because the truth is, we only thrive together. So my question for you is simple. How will you show up? Those karaoke nights and women's lunches? They weren't just fun. Those were the first stages I built. They were the seeds I planted without knowing what would come of them, but trusting that the connections would matter. And they did. And now, years later, here we are at Reinvented. This is your stage, your community, your opportunity to plant seeds that will grow into something extraordinary, not just for your business, but for your life. So be generous, be real, and don't be afraid to let your weird Barbie flag fly, because your uniqueness is not just valuable. It is the root of everything incredible you are going to create. Weird works. You work, and together, we work even better. Is your business referral worthy? Take the quiz at thereinvention.co/quiz to find out and get specific, actionable tips to take your business from best kept secret to book solid. Thanks for listening to Referral Worthy. If you like this episode, make sure to subscribe and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts.